Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
For logbook servicing you can rely on, you need to make the right choice. You need trained professionals who are fully qualified to service your car according to manufacturer's specifications. For real peace of mind and a nationwide warranty, book in or book online at repcoservice.com.
G'day everybody, welcome to the show for the last time in the home and away season of 2019, Carlton Show. Not necessarily the way we wanted to finish the season, but it's pretty obvious to most of us that they were wound right down as we hit the wire, unfortunately, down in Geelong on Saturday afternoon. Good to see you, Bagsy.
Andy, Gex, how are you boys?
Evening, all gents.
Enjoying a nice couple of beers.
Oh, now thank you to
Navy Blue Beck.
Oh, God love her. She's been a huge supporter of this podcast since it started.
Thanks,
there's a
Beck.
Little cohort of some absolute rusted ons. They are.
Yeah, no. That's
the reason we do it, to be honest. So thanks. She sent down, a dozen beers, has she? Canberra microbrewery.
14, but I snuck two myself.
A little
already,
Canberra microbrewery, and there's a bit of a mixed bag there.
So yeah, I've there got is the, a mixed got, bag.
What are we drinking? The hop and the spicy and hoppy or something?
Mm.
Big and hoppy.
Yeah. I got the Tutti Frutti.
I like it. It's going down nice.
Yeah, it's not bad. I like it.
You're rolling your eyes out.
Is it actually called Tutti Frutti?
No, but that's what it tastes like, Tutti Frutti.
Let's not spend too much time on the weekend's game. I reckon it was all there, pretty much there for all to see. And we'll give our votes for the last time for the year later. So we'll get a sense for who we rated and who we didn't. Well, those we rated on, there weren't many players, I don't reckon, who put in on the weekend. And that's a terrible thing to say.
No, it wasn't a great way to finish, but it was kind of predictable.
I reckon it was a bit predictable.
I sort of hoped that we would have charged home a little bit in the last quarter. We sort of did for a little while, but then the last seven or eight minutes, it was all over.
One thing I'll say about that, and I'm not, and this is more the system than an umpiring decision, but the Cunningham goal.
Which one?
The one that the umpire said was touched.
Oh, yeah.
Just before three quarter time.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it came off someone's knee or something.
No one touched the ball.
I couldn't
see. It's an overturn for us, and then they kick it off. So instead of being 30 points at three-quarter time, it's 41. Mm. Now, look, we're not going to beat them.
No.
But you go into three-quarter time, five goals down. If Teague wants to wind them up, and if you want to believe that you're going to go out, have one last crack as a player, you might go, they're gettable five goals. They're not gettable seven goals.
No.
Well, the other thing that happened, so that was a shit decision by Shane McInerney, a really bad decision. He overturned the goal umpire. The goal umpire didn't think it was touched.
He has to be positive he heard or saw something to do that.
Yep, so he was. And then they said that there wasn't enough definitive, which we all know the system. Clearly, I can't believe that his decision, umpire's call stood. I can't believe it. But anyway, that's by the by. See what happened? Did you guys go down there? Were you there? You know, we kicked against the breeze for three quarters, and not just against the breeze, a fucking howling gale. Like the first
quarter, in the second quarter, didn't it?
A quarter time, the rain. We kicked. It was a northerly blowing in the first quarter. They kicked with it. At quarter time, a squall came over the ground. The wind turned 180 degrees. So you know, I know we got beaten by 11 goals and a bit, but. We kicked against the breeze for three quarters, and we got
it. Didn't help.
It didn't help.
Didn't help the cause.
No, but
we did have periods of the game where we did have it locked inside 50,
and we were getting regular entries.
Yep.
Third quarter was 17-6, wasn't it?
This is the sad tale of a lot of our football this year. We just can't convert or be efficient inside 50.
You've been banging on this. Our ball use inside forward 50 early in that game was absolutely dreadful.
Yeah,
beyond dreadful, particularly compared to them. They were very efficient going forward, and we were.
I think the only thing I really wrote down about the game is that there was no really we weren't accountable for their players at stoppage. You know, they've had 20 shots at goal at stoppage. You know, they picked 11-9 purely from stoppages. So
35 goes all right.
The first 10.
When
the game was there on, he was.
Was that always at stoppage though, Andy?
Yeah, he got a few of them.
Oh, he plucked a few down the forward line as well. But I'm
talking about clearance. I don't know. Cripps had the most, but Dangerfield, Cripps had 13. Dangerfield had 12.
He would have had 10 or 12.
This is where the numbers lie as well, because you can. The clearance numbers are one thing, but it's what happens with that next position.
They had 20 scoring shots at goal, clearly, from stoppage.
Dangerfield's had the first clearance of the match, 5 seconds in, runs straight through the middle and goes bang, goal.
Hello.
Yeah. Now, how many of our blokes do that?
No. So, look, I really didn't have a hell of a lot about the actual game to talk about. I just thought that, it was, we'll talk about the reserves later on, and float onto them too, just quietly, but... But yeah, that's about it really about that game. And then you sort of wanted us to
That was that.
Yeah.
The big news of today, and everyone will know this by the time we do the pod. It's 10 past 8 on what day is it? Tuesday night. While we're doing the pod, it's Tuesday. Isn't it?
It is Tuesday. Yeah.
Half an hour ago, the world learnt that Kenny Galeo signed for 7 years at the Giants. So that's that. It's done. This has been the most. This has been the out of all the time I've been covering footy. And hearing, you hear stuff. People, this is going here and he's going there and he's doing this and he's doing that. I have never known a player whose the speculation about that player has been as volatile and adamantly volatile as it has been about Steve Cornelio.
I agree.
It's unbelievable the stuff that you've been told by people about Cornelio.
Well, you're more in the know
than
us blokes.
No, clearly not.
I mean,
no one in the media is,
And that's the bottom line in the end.
I'm saying,
no one knew. And yet, all of this noise, it's 80%, 90% bullshit and crap. So just shut your ears and don't listen to it. You have to.
No, you choose to.
Unfortunately.
No, you choose to listen to some of it. You choose to dismiss a lot of it.
You just cannot buy into it. If for your own safety, for your own bloody sanity, you cannot buy into it.
Yeah. Oh, I was in a straitjacket half the time. Because it just drove me mad.
It actually became a bit stupid in the end, the Cornelio stuff. But
just a couple of things on that, Andy, is that, there are people, good people that I know and people I don't know who wish to challenge the AFL over this. And I'm not buying into that.
Oh, you mean in terms of
Gil Sayn's, their influence and Gil Sayn's.
He shouldn't have said what he said.
He definitely shouldn't have said what he said. No. But to assume that they are the catalyst of him picking Giants over us or Hawthorn, the AFL, and this is a vendetta against Carlton. Seriously,
it's not a vendetta against anyone. It's a push for the Giants.
That's just a total assumption.
No, it's a push for the Giants. It's not against anyone. It's a push for they are an AFL club. So never lose sight of that fact. Like the Giants and the Gold Coast are an AFL club. So the AFL, when McLaughlin, he sat in that studio just behind us. That's when he said it. When he sat there 2 weeks ago and said what he said, he is barracking for a club that the AFL have designed and built. Right? He's got his skin. The AFL skin is in the game when it comes to Gold Coast and GWS. Mate, no bones about it. For their business model, it has to be. So when he says what he says about Cornelio, it's because this is a club that the AFL invested. No one will ever know how much money in. There'll be no way the game will ever be able to record how much money we have spent on GWS and Gold Coast. That I am happy to take to my grave. No one will ever be able to say it's cost us this. So that's what he's barracking for. To say he's barracking against someone, it's bullshit. It is dangerous territory, though, when he does get into this sort of stuff, because they can actually do something, the AFL, to impact a player in Cornelio's position. They can give him ambassadorial money. They can do something about Cola. There's stuff that they can put in front of a player who didn't work for Tom Lynch. He turned his back on it and he's enjoying his footy now. But they can actually do stuff to contractually make it, financially make it a bit more attractive for a player to stay at a club like GWS or Gold Coast.
It's interesting that the AFL as a body has gone a long, long way away from what they were originally set up to do. They were meant to be an independent group of people to oversee the game. And now they've got their tentacles in all sorts of places where they probably shouldn't really have if they're truly independent and fair for everyone and looking after the best interest of everyone. I think they get themselves into a bit of trouble sometimes with the directions they go in.
So what they'll tell you, what they'll tell us and anyone listening is that for Carlton's best interest, it's in Carlton's best interest for Gold Coast and GWS to be successful.
Oh, it's just the trickle-down effect.
Yeah, that's what they'll tell you.
Like the conservative politicians tell us.
But it's actually a really easy argument to make. If they're successful and the game grows in New South Wales and Queensland, then the game will be worth more. So more money will come into the game. There'll be more people watching it. And as a beneficiary of that, a club like Carlton will be. There'll be more money in the game. That's what they'll tell you, right? So
well, that's certainly not working for the Gold Coast.
No, it's not working for the AFL. Gold Coast isn't working for the AFL.
No, not at all.
And let's wait and see what the next TV rights look like. Because if they don't go for more, because we'll be six more years into, by the time they're up, it'll be six more years of GWS. And look, we're getting bogged down in this, and we shouldn't. Yeah. So let's not bother.
The other thing was that everyone's up in arms about the possibility of Gold Coast getting picks one and two. Well, they've already got pick one, like a priority of pick two. That, again, it's, you know, they fucked us over last year, giving us blah,
They're all clear this year because they're on their own, aren't they? Last year we were linked with them. They couldn't do it.
Yep, but see, you're right, of course. And I can understand people. Can I just say one thing about all this? Yeah, this and that. No, it's not fair. And they're doing this to us and they're doing. It is such a loser's lament.
Oh,
like it's all.
It is.
I'm just talking about consistency.
Yeah, fair enough.
Look, they make things up as they go along. They somehow come up with giving us two picks from state league players last year.
Yeah,
and that's because presidents and coaches from a lot of other clubs came out and said, you're not giving Carlton a priority pick. You've got to be joking. Mm. They've been down the bottom. They've had enough first picks, yada, yada, yada. Mm. So they threw it out there and then went back and said, yeah, you know what? Maybe we'll just give them two state league players. That'll work. Which we unforwarded, I think, and ended up getting some players from other sides. I can't remember exactly what we did. But I do understand what you're saying, Andy. That loser mentality, people, you need to lose that mentality. Oh, it's what the three of us grew up with many years ago when we followed Carlton. We were a powerful side. And you'd meet your friends at school or wherever, and they talked about their South Melbournes and Fitzroy's and Footscray's and Melbourne's and St Kilda's. They were the sides that would bitch and moan and groan about umpiring decisions.
All the
decisions that are made across the board. That's what we grew up with, but from a different perspective. Now we're Carlton, we're low. I don't think, hopefully we're not low on the bottom for too long, but that loser mentality, as Andy's talking about, it doesn't resonate with me.
Just focus on us.
Yeah, of course.
Let's just get us right. Mm. Bunker down, work hard, you know, have a win, chip away, get it right. Don't worry about it. Don't lose your focus in. Don't waste any energy. Don't waste any of your emotional fucking time. Mm. On this sort of stuff,
it's just over the fence.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
No, no,
exactly.
You're right, Andy.
Doesn't get you. You can't change anything.
No,
it's not going to make any difference.
It's very hard sometimes for me to get my point across to people as articulate as what you do. But I agree with everything you say, mate. It's it wears me down. It really wears me down.
Well, you're a bit of it. I think people see you as a voice of, because you do respond. You're a giver when it comes to you know, social media and stuff. That's good on you. You're a better man than me when it comes to that stuff.
But it will actually flow me on to, we're going to be talking about a review of the year, not player by player, but certainly, you know, Andy, you asked us to bring up some highlights and lowlights. Okay, well, it actually flows on to the first lowlight of the year for me. And the biggest low light of the year for me was when we lost to Essendon round 11, and it dawned on me that, you know, the walls were closing in on me big time. And I messaged both of you I'm not sure if it was long after the game or the following day. I can't remember. And I think someone asked, you know, what time podcast, that sort of stuff. And I think I responded with, nah, leave me out. Mm. Not doing it. I'm not sure if people understood or if you two understood what I meant by that. What I meant was I'd had a gutful of everything at the time. Everything. This is my lowest point of the year for me, the lowest point for me personally, because I hadn't said it to you, but I can assure you it was probably going to be the last time I did the podcast.
No, I could have sensed it. That's what you were thinking.
Because I didn't know what else to say anymore. I think I was – I'm not even sure if I was being true to myself anymore. I think I was trying to see positives out of really bad negatives. And to me, it was the biggest low light of the year, thinking that that was going to be it for me.
One of my low lights corresponds with that. I mean, I think any year you sack a coach, it's not a high point for a footy club. You know, I think we all understood where we got to as a club at the stage, and some, a circuit breaker was needed, and it's often the coach, you know, cops it. But at any year you sack a coach when you, what were we, 1-10, 2-11, whatever it
We'd
was.
We'd lost 39 of our last 43
Shit
games.
It had to happen. It had to happen. But it's never a good year.
No. Well, that's right. And ultimately, the sacking of Bolton was the next kind of low light. Because, as you say, you don't really want to see anybody lose their job, but it had to happen. Some people out there would be saying, oh, that was the highlight
of
the course.
Year.
And that's
the catalyst.
Of course. Yeah. But that you can't get away from that 1-10. That 1-10 start,
the bigger number, the one that Gekko just mentioned.
Oh, yeah. What was it? 39 from 43. Like, Jesus, that's
we'd won 4 out of 43.
Massive,
like, it was shit.
Massive.
What do you got?
Not so much low lights.
I'll just touch a couple of more low lights that, you know, you boys can possibly talk about or not. Straight away before the season starts, you know, Doherty with the knee. Like, that's just a shot in the arm. You know, your captain, co-captain.
Not a shot in the arm.
Yeah.
It wasn't a shot in the arm.
It was a shot in the knee. Yeah. But shouldn't make light of it. But that straight away just puts, you know, the team in itself just, I mean, the bloke, he's just a champion bloke, right? He's dealt with it so well. And it's probably given him a different outlook at how you know, see players from the box and from the boundary line, whatever. But that straight away to me is another low light. And you know, our club has had to cope with that sort of stuff, you know, a fair bit actually. It was a second year in a row for him, mate. You know, for a club to deal with that, it's not the easy. You know, it's easy to gloss over it. It's just one player. But when it's when it's a player, he's an All-Australian.
Some players are more important to teams than they're given credit for, I reckon. And look, we hold our breath and we keep our fingers crossed that Doherty gets back to where he was before the two knees, you know. Once you do a couple, there's no guarantees. Like, there's absolutely no guarantees he comes back the player he was, you know. I mean, and that's...
Yeah. So other individuals, you know, Pickett.
There was a feeling of optimism for Pickett. Given the way he finished the previous year.
There was. I think we all talked
He had an out,
reasonably
he had a breakout
high
game end. Against Hawthorn last year that we he all did. Thought this is where yep. he yep. showed what he could actually do.
Came back overweight, then did the knee, you know, and then parted ways with the club. I think it was a bit of both.
We're screaming out
for a small forward.
We were barracking for him as a collective so hard, weren't we? I mean, because we haven't got...
And the preseason seemed to be chugging along really nicely too. And the Doherty and Pickett thing came very close to one another, right towards the JLT side of things. I think it was a bit of a setback for that sort of feeling of what to expect.
And on a lesser note, I mean, we didn't chase a bloke, but he was delisted from Melbourne, Thomas Bugg. You know, all sorts of stories have come out about him, but... Regardless, you know, you've got a player on the list who played at Melbourne and, you know, we picked him up, threw him a bone, and then he decides to pull the pin on the club for whatever reason. But, again, another player decides to leave before the season even starts. And then, look, two blokes during the year, You know, Tom Williamson, got nothing out of Tom Williamson whatsoever. Youngster with his back. You know, we're talking about lowlights. This would have to be a lowlight.
Mine, for sure.
And that's a massive setback for himself and the club who want to put games into him. The other one probably, again, well, at least he played 12 or 13 games, was Caleb Marchbank, who's another one that, you know, hasn't, I think it was a neck injury.
Yeah, neck. Yeah, vertebrae,
you know,
in his neck.
He's walking
yeah.
around with a bloody, yep. you know. Yep. And, you know, again, these are guys that you invest and you just can't get them on the park. So in terms of individuals, they were kind of the ones that I thought were, well, they are lowlights of the year, I guess.
No, I can't disagree with any of that. I mean, we again, as we do with Sam Doherty, we all hold our breath and we keep our fingers crossed with Tom Williamson. You hope that the club's got a handle on where he's at.
It's such a glass half full, a glass half empty scenario because, I mean, there's massive upside. We all know what he can potentially be. Even Cunningham, again, he's had one of those checkered seasons.
I didn't mention him, but you could probably look at him as well, I suppose.
You just don't know. Like how, and sometimes you've got to pull the pin on people if you can't.
He's been given 3 years, Geeks.
You give him 1 year, 2 year. Then you get to the third year and you think, well, this is a pattern emerging here. How far can we go with this? I mean, they're very valuable commodities places on a senior list. And, you know, what do you do?
So to that point, as we sit here now on the, what is it, the 27th? Yep. 27, whatever it is, 27th of August. 22 and under on our list. We have 45 players on our list, including rookies. 25 of them. A 22 or under. So we are still, I know age and average games and stuff when we've got Simpson and Murphy in the side and Cruiser in
Thomas.
The side, Thomas in the side. The numbers look, they're pretty experienced. Mm. But our list is anything but experienced. I'll say it again, 25 of 45 players on our list are 22 or under. And listen to them, right? And as I go through the names, I'll go through them quick. Just say yes or no whether you reckon there's a future, right? Cunningham, Charlie Curnow, De Conning, Dow, who's 19, Fisher, Matt Kennedy, Kerr, McCready, Marchbank, Mackay, O'Brien, 19, Samo, Paulson, Schumacher, Setterfield, Jack Silvani, Stocker, 19, Walsh, 19, Wietering, Willow, and then you've got LeBoyce, Cottrell, O'Dwyer, Owies, and Ben Silvani, who are the rookies or yet to play. Who are under 20. That is a huge body of your list that is 22 or under. And I take your point about the value of a spot on a senior list. But good luck making a call on a lot of those blokes just yet. Mm. There's some I reckon we're close to. But you'd be loath to make a call on 80, 85% of those blokes too early because they're so young.
For sure.
They're babies.
Yep.
And they make up more than 50% of our list. And I put to you blokes that I haven't done, I'm just going to do it quickly. 15 of them, 16 if you include Willow, I am confident will be 8 to 10 year players minimum at this club. 8 to 10 years minimum, most of them.
Well, that's pretty good.
I reckon it's great.
Out of 25.
25.
So but there's nine that you got question marks. Probably three will probably go this year.
Well, that's including the five who we haven't seen yet. Right, the 11. Okay. So forget about them.
Well, that's three quarters of it. Three quarters of that list, you're quite confident that they'll be...
Yeah. Players.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I'm confident. Cunningham, Charlie Curnow, De Conning, Dow, Fisher, Matt Kennedy, Marchbank, Mackay, O'Brien, Petrescu, Seaton, Setterfield, Jack Silvani, Stocker, Walsh, Wietering. And Williamson, if he's body right.
Well, going
confident they'll all be players.
Going on a tangent to what you're saying at the moment, I went through a little exercise yesterday of putting our entire squad into one of four columns. I had a blue collar column. Basically, that would suggest players are established in that they're not going to develop any further. They are what they are.
Sure.
A development potential column. players who are playing in what I would consider the required level of skill and IQ required for modern day football. And the last one, last column was not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I had six in the blue column,
mm-hmm.
15 in the development potential column.
Yep.
And each of those players I would be grading individually with a probability sort of
How many factor. Of those 15 are these young blokes?
They might correspond. Most of them. Well, I was just going to say, they probably correspond with those guys.
Keep going.
I had nine senior players at the required level for football, and I had four in the not good enough column.
Who were the four in the not good enough?
I don't want to name names. Not at this stage, but that'll all come out in a wash.
Don't lean on those buttons.
I don't know. I just thought that 15... the development sort of column, that's really a make or break column for us.
Okay, no question about that.
That we have to get 70% of those up and running.
I would have said 9 or 10. Yep.
So that's massive for
us. I agree.
Totally agree. Highlights.
I'll get my lowlights out of the way.
You got another lowlight?
Yeah, about performance against the big dogs. And when I say the big dogs, I mean the teams that are in the eight, right? You can chuck in one or two others who were in the eight when we played them. Just for the sake of the argument, those teams that have finished in the eight, we're 8-1 against eight losses, one win.
Yep.
And one of those wins was our biggest win of the year against the Bullies, and we should have beaten them twice. It's funny because you go through the losses and we were – all but the GWS game, 93 points, and the Geelong game, 63 points. You know, you can argue how competitive we were in the opening game of the year against Richmond, but I don't think we were played off the ground that night.
They've got our measure.
They play us pretty comfortably.
They're a five-goal better side than us. They constantly beat us five goals.
Our truth is, and we get a good draw again next year by virtue of finishing where we finished this year. Our truth is that we are off the pace significantly against the best sides in the comp. We can't land a punt. We can jab with them.
No doubt.
But at the end of the day, we can't match them the moment. So all of the, you know, we all leave, you know, we're all Carlton and we're the second half of the year and all of that. That's our reality.
We can't afford to get too excited.
Oh, no.
So out of the losses... we had 15 losses. 9 of those losses were within 4 goals.
That's
a good point.
5 of those 9 losses under 4 goals were with Bolton in the first half.
Yeah, he was stiff. He was stiff. Yep.
So
he was.
If you expand that to 6 goal losses, we had 11 of those 15 goals within 6 goals, and 6 of those were with Bolts.
I think the fact that we got Collingwood, and Collingwood, I think at that stage, were up and running. And I think it was about 6 or 7 minutes to go in that game and we're 2 goals up. And then they slammed on 5 goals late in the game. And that was under Bolton. But that was a game that sort of like I looked at and thought, well, you know, it gave me a little bit of inspiration at the time. Mm. And even the Hawthorn game down in
Tassie,
which we could have won.
Should have won.
6 up.
You know, well, yeah.
We arguably played. I mean, that first half arguably was the best. It was a flip of the whole season, really. I mean, one of my lowlights it's a mix of highlight v lowlight. Our inability to seize initiative early in games was an absolute lowlight.
Oh, yeah.
And yet our ability to dig in and fight when seemingly the odds are stacked against us was a highlight. Mm. And the Hawthorn game was a complete flip of what we did for the year. I mean, we bounced out and owned them in the first half, but then just couldn't put them away, you know. No. So it was an oddity in terms of the way we played our footy this year.
Yeah, that's right. But look, you know, the stats don't lie. And you know, 8-1, 8 losses, 1 win against top sides. You're right. There's a significant ground to make up. There's no doubt about that. And you know, the Teague influence, which is the highlight.
Of course.
When Teague came in round 12, he basically took over, and I can't imagine that anyone at the club or any of us really thought that he was going to be the coach of Carlton. I don't think that was in their plans when he took over as the caretaker. Now, the fact that he stripped it right back, got back to basics, but allowed each player to express themselves, as we've talked about for many, many weeks here. And all of a sudden, they felt like they were just being able to play a bit freer.
Mm.
I mean, he tries to play that down a bit, but that's initially what he said. Train a lot harder, you know, bit of ball movement.
Train smarter. Yeah, they trained smarter, they did, I think. Yeah.
You know, yada, 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 all that sort of stuff. But now he has that chance as the coach, because I can't imagine that he would have implemented too many structures and systems and this is the way we got to play. You know, all in that 10 or 12 weeks, there might have been a little bit of it. But now he gets the whole summer to get his group up and going the way he wants them to play.
Yep.
You know, this is going to be the David Teague imprimatur.
Yep.
And we'll see this in the coming years, hopefully, you know, and see how he gets them going to a point where hopefully we sit back and say, well, you know, this is the significant improvement that this coach has got with this list and others possibly that come in, not Coniglio.
Cleansing Ale.
Bespoke
Brewing Company, born and brewed in Canberra. Cleansing Ale.
Is that bespoke? Did I say bespoke?
Bent spoke.
Sorry,
Dave. Well, I can't remember what I was going to say.
You're going on a bit.
No, thank you.
Your point's a valid one.
Teague is going to set...
It's his way now.
Yeah.
It's 100%.
You know how the certain sides in the league play a certain way? And we all know how they kind of play, the West Coast, the Collingwoods, the Richmonds. I still defy anyone who can tell me, apart from... You know, like what you just said, Andy. Like you know, we dug in. We fought.
No. We played a four. We our game changed significantly. I think structurally,
I don't think so.
I think it did. I reckon it did.
I'm going to.
I'm not 100% sure, Andy. I can't see that someone would watch Carlton say they play this particular.
This
way.
Is where I want to drill down on the night. All right, let me begin a conversation, and you guys come in as you see
sit back,
fit.
Folks. We could be here for a while.
The first topic is, what are our strengths? Let's discuss what we're good at. In my opinion, I think in our brand at the moment is that we have patches of clearance domination.
Yep.
We're good at contested football.
I agree with that.
We can match them with ground ball. Sort of gets
sometimes.
In contested
sometimes.
Possession.
Sometimes.
There's always momentum.
I don't reckon that's
that
a strength
stuff.
Of ours, but yep.
We've got a functioning back line that is good at intercept marking. It's well set up.
Tick.
Yep. Big tick.
Seems to read the
big
play
tip.
Well behind.
Can you
the
get
ball.
Off that thing just in case you push the buttons down? Thanks.
Our scoring is predominantly from front half.
Yep.
Okay. It's fairly one dimensional in the way that we actually manufacture.
Under Teague, it has been. Yep.
That's what he wants to do.
Okay, so
that's his trademark.
That's the basic framework of what I see. Do you guys want to add any more to what our strengths are?
I don't disagree too much with that. I think our fluency when we're up and going is a strength.
I think on the weekend, that to underline that point, how many shots do we miss on the run?
We just don't complete plays.
50 to 35 on the weekend.
Mm. We don't complete plays.
So if the Lockie O'Briens and the Paddy Dows and these young blokes, you know, the Will Set, all that, we know who they are. If they start converting, Sitterfield didn't have a shot. Dow certainly did. O'Brien missed two. If they start hitting those.
Oh, for sure.
Then our whole scoring pattern and what we challenge a side with changes.
Absolutely.
But while we keep missing, it doesn't go on the board. The stats don't change. Hmm. But even against Geelong on the weekend, we had a couple of open looks on the burst from 40-45, and we just didn't convert.
I don't think they were missing theirs. But I agree with all the strengths there, no doubt about it.
There's
another
strength.
I'll add one more thing.
More strength that you haven't put there. It's a possibility. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen it because – I think the Harry Mackay, the Charlie Kurnow, and the McGovern, when it ends...
Let's not discuss anything that isn't real. Not thinking about what could happen, should. But we haven't seen it yet, so we can't say it's part of what we do.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Fair enough. I'll
add one more thing that post... Bolton and with Teague, the evenness of effort has increased and given us energy boost. I think that's another factor.
100%.
All right, let's go to weaknesses now. This is my I've got more weaknesses and strengths, obviously, because I'm probably more inclined to see them. But I think the big one for me is lack of skill and football IQ. All right? That's how I summarise in a very high level what we don't have. We still have an over-reliance on senior players whose skill level probably isn't good enough at the required level. An inability to score consistently from either a rebound or counter-attack, which requires scoring chains of two or three possessions or
which
more.
Which sort of goes to what I said before.
Too often we break down through poor fundamentals. So the forward entries have been chronically prehistoric for me, related to skill and IQ again. We're unable to change the way we play until we get some of football skills and IQ, as far as I'm concerned. But do you see or want to add anything to that before I continue it on?
All I'll say about the we've all ticked off that our defence is good, and they're all I looked at their efficiency numbers with the ball in hand, and they're all pretty good at coming out of defence. What I don't think we have, and I think what we possibly need, is someone to come running out of the defence and take bounces and break lines, which we don't have in our side. So we're very reliant on intercept marks and then hitting the target. We don't have like a quick handball and then someone goes.
I don't think
we have that player.
I actually think that's one part of the game that Teague can actually implement with what we've got.
Okay. With what we've got?
I think the likes of SBS, even the Ploughman type, and who's the third one I was thinking of? Probably Murphy and O'Brien as well.
Oh, Newman.
Newman.
You can do a bit of that with
Newman. If those guys are told and encouraged that the new way to go is to run past at all costs and receive handballs, which we don't do.
I don't think we do, no.
If that becomes implemented in part of our game, the green light is now on for us to start doing that sort of stuff.
Yeah. All right, so that was one part that I think.
They're good enough kicks to actually make that sort of movement start to occur in our side.
I think so. Yeah, I do. I do.
But a lot of that stuff that you're talking about, if we just pause there for a second, that comes with confidence and scoreboard pressure and the state of the game. Like a lot of that stuff is dictated.
And the opposition.
Dictated to all
what
factors.
What would have stopped us from trying those things this year in the second half of the year?
Well, I think we did. I think there were plenty of times when our ball movement was pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's entrenched.
Often when our back was against
half against Hawthorn and against the Doggies.
I think there were plenty of times. I think
then they went back into their shells.
Yeah, we've got 25 blokes who are 25 out 45 are 22 or under. They don't feel they're not ready. Yeah, but they're not ready to own games at this level.
It's not about owning games. It's about
being bold enough, safe enough. Yeah. I'll say it again. 25 out of 45 are 22 or under, mate. They're playing against grown men in a real man's league. When you don't hit your straps, you don't believe you, in a lot of cases, really belong. And I'm only saying this because I listen to what players say.
A guy like SBS should be encouraged to run past and receive
handballs. He may be, but, mate, he's 21. He's not Luke Hodge. He's not a guy who has got 150 games of experience and good experience. Like poured into his system, he's probably full of more doubt than he is confidence. He's probably second guessing himself more than he is.
This is what a coach has got to bring out.
No, but I think it's also about the reality of where these guys have been. They've been beating dogs for half of their life. Those blokes.
I don't want to be saying the same thing next year.
Neither do I, mate. Right. But I think there are signs that in terms of what you're, we've seen plenty.
That's why I said what I said. I think Teague can actually implement that style from the backline football.
Yeah.
I think that's the piece of the puzzle he can implement the most easiest.
Let's see how we go if we're 4-1. And I know there were moments, we had a good start to a season under Bolton and we had a couple of good. So, you know, there was one year when we bounced out of the blocks okay against under Brendan.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. 2 years ago.
So, you know, I think it'll be, now that we've got a list that's added, does have a bit more time behind the wheel.
Well, that was just the one thing, and I don't want to, you know, we've obviously gone on a bit too much about, I just thought that was one layer that whether we had that player on our list or not, it was just a feeling that I thought that I know what our backline's capable of, what they do really, really well, but that's something I don't feel that we do.
On most occasions this year, I would be surprised if anyone truly believed that for a majority of, well, certainly not for a majority of the season, but even maybe for a majority of the second half of the season, I don't think anybody would say that we played a brand of footy that it was obvious to look at that every phase of the team, the three phases, the back, mid, forward, were ever truly in sync with one another.
No.
So no. I think most people would agree with that.
Our fullback.
That's what I was trying to say before.
And that's where now this bloke gets it. Yeah. He gets his chance. These guys are all, a majority of our list now has a year, two, three or four at the level.
Yep.
In there, these guys are the future. They are there is the nucleus of this team. Yeah.
There's a bit of pressure
forward.
On them.
Oh, well, no. Pressure on everybody at this level, mate.
There's pressure on them.
Pressure on everybody.
Oh, yep. Yeah,
every player of every list, there is pressure on it.
All right, let me throw
I'd
you
like
this
to see,
one.
I'd like to see them come through use the corridor a lot more.
Here's the next talking point.
I don't think they do.
I'm going to start with the definition of the word paradox.
I've got no idea what paradox means.
Just to inform you guys. It's a statement that despite being true and valid.
I was about 18, Andy, you know?
Let him go.
A statement that despite being true and valid leads to a self-contradictory or an unacceptable conclusion. So even though it's true, the tail of the spin is that it's also going to be a problem of sorts for us.
You still winning, Baz?
I'm putting it. Here we go. So the issue we have, in my eyes, is that the makeup of the midfield, the three of our four starting lineup of Cruiser, Cripps and Ed Curno are in a lot of respects, they have the same skill set. They're contested possession inside beasts. They get it and bang it forward. And the stats show really good contested possession numbers for them and occasionally stoppage numbers. But those stats don't explain what happens next. And for us to go forward, we have to actually move away from that type of football. We can't just grab it and bang it forward. We can't just bang and crash. Certainly not all the time. Sometimes you have to because high-impact density football implies that you have to. But you always have, in my eyes, your first and only serious thought is if that ball is in your hands, it's the most precious thing on the ground and you have to keep it in your possession. Your team has to maintain the possession of the ball. Do not give it away.
Look, I'm visualising what you're saying as you're saying it, right? And I understand that part of what you're saying is correct, but part of what you're saying also, if I was someone who understands that I've got Cruiser, Cripps, and who's the other one?
Ed Curno.
If I'm a half-forward flanker, winger, and I'm sitting up in front of those stoppages, and I'm going to constantly give away territory and let my defender stand in front of me, and these kicks are coming out like I saw them on the weekend, constantly coming out from Ed Curno, constantly, who tried his guts out. But those kicks just constantly came out of those stoppages and constantly came back over his head. Now, you've got the opposition who set up behind the ball very, very well, and we, on the weekend, and I know you're not talking about just the weekend because it was a wet and windy day and all the rest of it. I do see what you're saying, and I do see that ball coming back over our heads with interest. Now, they've just got to come up with, you know, systems and structures whereby that dump kick that we are doing so often stays in the forward 50. And that's a bit about what Teague had brought in the weeks that he's had this team together, and that's where you get the scores from forward half. There's nothing worse than seeing the ball get dumped in and come straight back over your head with interest and or down the fat side and they score against it. So I understand what you're saying, but at the moment, do we have anything to counteract what you are saying?
I reckon it's a bit of system, and I don't disagree with the in a perfect world, you'd like ping, ping, chest on, lace out. No, no,
don't
no.
You always say no, that. No, no, no. I hate what you say.
No, no. You like playing. You like the idea of a perfect game. You do. No, you do. You do. You do. You do.
Perfect.
You do.
It's about...
It's okay. System, you like it. It's okay. Don't shy away from it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not... Mate. The dump ball out of the midfield, which you talked about before as being a necessity and a reality in the modern game, right?
As a last resort.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not as
I'm
a not, first
don't
resort.
Don't be so defensive about it. It happens resort. It happens in the modern game
oh,
a lot.
Plenty of clubs do it.
Our problem is as much... It's not, it's as you're saying we've got three blokes who are the same. I'm saying, and you're saying it's about the next possession. I'm saying we don't have personnel to take advantage of the ball that is quick.
Hack, all I'm saying is
that is hacked quickly.
The way we play now will keep us in the ladder position we currently are and not beyond. That's all I'm saying.
So what do you? How do you want us to play?
I'm saying... I'm not saying anything.
No, you tell me. You say that I'm not alleging that you want to play perfect pinball football out of the middle of the ground. You tell me how you want to play.
I'm not saying anything other.
So you're saying that Cruiser and Ed Curnow have to go?
Finish, Andrew.
Is that what you're saying?
Combative and
no, no, no. I want you to explain this because you've been talking about this for a long time now.
Yes.
And I want to know what you actually see as an alternative.
I'm talking about a static situation and it needs to change.
I understand that.
Right?
How
can it change?
Yeah. Change into what?
We either find a way to use the chess pieces we have or we change the chess pieces. Mm-hmm. They're the only way
so
we change.
So I'll say to you, this is what I'm saying. I'm glad you've said that because I like the players that we've got. But what we don't have is personnel forward of the football to take advantage of their dominance. Who are our opportunists?
It's not about forward of the football.
Okay, so what is it then?
All right, let me run you by this.
No, no, no. What is it? If it's not about what's ahead of the football, you tell me what it's about.
You could put the best small forwards in the competition in our forward line. It won't make any difference.
Why not?
Because all of those, I don't want to swear here, but all of those high bomb forward entries and mongrel kicks and half-assed going to
nowhere
kicks.
Yeah, which none of us like, yep.
They end up in massive packs where the backmen and the forwards are all assembling.
Why do they end in massive packs? In 666, why do they end up in massive packs?
You're talking about centre clearances.
I'm talking about quick hack balls
out
of centre. Yeah.
Eight times a game.
Yes.
I'm talking about stoppages in general.
You're talking about centre clearances.
No.
Well, you were at the start.
666 is centre clearances.
Yeah, you were talking about Cripps, Curnow and Cruiser at centre clearances.
I said they are our starting midfielders.
Yeah, centre clearances, yeah.
No. At every stoppage, they are our starting midfielders.
So you weren't talking about centre clearances?
I'm talking about any clearance situation.
Right, okay. I thought you were talking about centre clearances.
Any clearance situation.
Yeah.
I'm saying we don't have personnel on our list.
All I'm saying is this is where we are. We want to go here. How?
I've got no doubt that Matthew Cruiser, Ed Curnow and Patrick Cripps are perfectly capable of being good players in a good side.
All right, the statistics are telling us that's not going to happen.
Well, that's where you and I differ.
Here are the statistics. What? Turnovers, we're sixth in the comp. Marks inside 50, we're 16th in the comp. Inside 50s, we're 16th in the comp.
Yeah, what about the last
Shots
10 weeks
goal,
of the year?
We're 16th in the comp.
Yeah, what about the last 10 years, under Teague?
And all of the sides who are on top of the things that I've said are the ones in the eight.
Yeah, well, that's...
But, Gex, that's why I was trying to bring up the point of potentially down the track. A strength of ours could be Charlie, Mitch McGovern, Harry. And they are capable of lifting those stats in terms of marks inside 50. We haven't had the three of them together for a greater portion of the year.
Now, not if.
Go on.
Not
if they're dump kicks.
Not if we are stuck in forward half as our major way of getting shots on goal.
Well,
rebound and counterattack, and we don't move the ball fluently enough. They're the two other ways of getting shots on goal.
I think the layers will come, personally, and I do think that some of those stats will lift if we do find personnel, quality personnel in terms of small forwards. I've watched a lot of footy over the past few weeks, and I've tried to concentrate on the better players, the better teams, and I can't tell you how many times I saw West Coast and Richmond, for that matter, particularly those two, actually Brisbane. When that dump kick goes
dump
in,
kick.
Right, and there's a small forward front and centre, the way they shark it off a pack and then straight in and bang at goals, whether they kick it or whether they don't, they're having shots at goal. And they are good players, Gex. They are really good players. We don't have them. We don't have them. You know, you can't tell me that Joshy De Luca is as good as he tries. He's not going to be that player.
No, I agree.
I think what you're talking about, and I don't mean to have a fight with you, but I want you to know what your solution is.
Oh, they're good debates.
I think it's a personality.
All I'm showing you is a static picture of where we are. We're
16. We're 16. I'm telling you, I think I have an answer. My answer is personnel.
Okay.
Well, my answer is not my. Where I disagree, I think you were getting to a point that you were saying that if this is what Cruiser, Curnow, and Cripps bring, it's not good enough. We need to change.
No, it's not. Well, it's not dynamic enough to create space.
So
what
if you've got what if around them you've got Dow, Setterfield, Fisher. Murphy, Fisher? What if you've got all these players around them who are growing and emerging? Stocker. Jack Martin, Tom Papley.
That's it.
What if you
better
it's
users
personnel,
of the ball.
Mate? The blokes who we've got in there are high quality footballers, absolutely high quality
contested
footballers.
Beasts,
who probably
really,
feel like they have when they're against the game and they're chasing the game, they probably don't think they have the next give in them. They don't think they've got the time and the space or the players around them to give them the next to lay the next ball off. So I would imagine that an Ed Curnow gets fucking sick of being hammered with ball in hand. So he thinks instead of looking for someone who's not there, I'll just fucking hammer the thing forward. And if we have a forward line where we have multiple opportunists, people who read the ball off the boot, who are instinctive forwards, which is something I've been talking about for 5 years on this show, we have instinctive tall forwards. We've still got no instinctive small forwards. None. That's why we fall in love with Pickett. That's why we gave Garlett a chance. That's why we've tried Polson down there. That's why we've tried Murphy down there. That's why we've tried SPS there. We have none. We're manufacturing something, trying to manufacture something out of players on our list that aren't naturally gifted at the players that I think, at the roles, sorry, at, that I think will make a big difference to the lament that you've laid out.
There's a potential that we're still going to have none of those players.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
So we've got to work something out.
Yeah.
We?
Well, I think. Well, we were seven, and what were we under? What were we under Teague? We've worked it out. We've worked something out. You don't think so? So what did you see in the second half of the season?
We won 6 games, and 5 of them were against teams in the bottom half of the ladder.
It doesn't matter, mate. We lost games against sides who are in the bottom half of the ladder.
But that's. If that's all we want, then we'll do it again next year. That'll be fine. But we'll be back
here
saying
the same
things
next year. Well, if we win, how many games have we? You gave me the stats before about games we lost under 24 and under single figures. There were several. If we win half of those, well, we're knocking on the door of the 8.
All right. Let me finish with this statement. Our skill level is not at the level that is needed, and that is something that is going to have to change whether I'm coach or not. If we don't improve in that space, our players can't play here, and we have to get players who can play in that space and develop, or we have to recruit them into our footy club. That was said 7 days ago by Brett Ratner.
Yep.
And St Kilda are a slightly better team than us. You can't argue against that.
No, they won 10 games or 9 games or whatever they won. Yep.
And that's where they sit at the moment. So
I would argue that our list is better than St Kilda's.
Oh, I don't think you can. I think you can hope on potential that it is, but there's no proof yet.
No, not yet. But I would say that our list is better than St Kilda's. I think if you said to St Kilda, you can have which list do you want? I reckon St Kilda would take our list.
Yeah, possibly.
So you okay? Oh, well, you've got the floor. You tell me. I'll just run through these blokes. You say yes or no whether their skill level's good enough.
Yep.
Cunningham. Just yes or no?
Yes.
Charlie Curnow.
No.
De Conning.
Can't tell yet.
Dow.
Not yet.
Fisher.
Not yet.
Kennedy.
Not yet.
McCready.
No.
Marchbank.
He's about 60-70, improved this year. Yep.
Mackay.
Yes.
O'Brien.
Yes.
Samo.
Yes.
Polson.
No.
Schumacher.
Don't know.
Setterfield.
Yes.
Silvani.
Yes.
Stocker.
Yes.
Walsh.
Yes.
Wietering.
Yes.
Williamson.
Don't know. He's played a handful of games.
You don't know whether his skill level's good enough?
No.
Okay. So that would have been, oh, I didn't keep count then. What, did you keep count of any of that? Or have you cheated?
Yeah, no. There's about seven or eight players there that...
Charlie Curnow's skill level's not good enough.
No, his decision-making and IQ's not good enough.
Skill level.
His skill level's average at the moment.
He's under 22.
I don't... You're asking me a straight question. I'm giving you a straight answer.
Is his skill level good enough?
Not yet.
Okay.
He's exciting, but his skill level isn't great.
What do you reckon? Charlie Curnow's skill level.
I've got no issue with him. He had 11 games of footy. He's had 26 shots at goal. He's kicked 18-8. You know, Harry had 20 games of footy, kicked 21 goals plenty.
Yeah, I don't.
And Mitch McGovern had 16 games and played and kicked 22-11. I think those three there, I know I keep focusing on them, but they've kicked 61 goals plenty between them. They've probably had 120 shots at goal this year between three players. Mm. They've probably had their 40 shots each or roundabouts.
Mm.
And one's only played 11 games. One played 21, played 16 and was, you know, fat as a pig and came back a lot better and all the rest of it. So I see huge upside there. I really do. And maybe I'm talking shit, Gex. I don't know. I just see those three players need two or three underneath them that will complement what I can see as being a pretty good forward line. I'm not quite sure whether we've got that. I'm pretty sure we don't have those players at the club right now.
The ground level ones?
I don't think so.
I'm certain we don't.
I don't think so.
I'm certain we don't.
We do need to find them in a hurry, and it's a part of what's killing us at the moment with those dump kicks and the ball that lands in the ground. And, you know, it's a real facet that I don't like watching our team because we scunge goals rather than
crafting them.
We don't react. We're not first to react. We're not first to react to, you know, a chaos ball. We never are. Think about with the team that we grew up watching.
Oh,
the teams we grew up watching.
Dominator,
Sheldon, Ashman, Johnson, Bizarro.
Please, Mark Hu, they knew the way the ball was going to.
Because they were better players.
Yeah. And this is where I've been
they
watching.
They were better players. You know,
no doubt.
The Richmond forwards, the West Coast forwards. We know who they are. Brisbane forwards. They react to a chaos ball because they back themselves, they read it, they see it. They're natural and they're instinctive.
And I'll tell you.
We haven't got any of those players.
When you have the Coleman medalist winning with kicking 60 goals for the year, that's all they kick about these days. Mm, these forwards kick 60 goals. Yep. Coleman, we grew up with, you know, Hudson kicking 150, you know, or Wade kicking 125 or, you know. You don't see that anymore. So the next level is, all right, your talls aren't kicking a lot of goals. You need ground-level players to get your scores up from, I think, we're averaging 67 under Bolton, 81 under Teague. Mm,
it's changed.
And hopefully we get up into the 90s in the near future. And that's not going to come from just the talls. It'll come from all sorts of facets. It'll come from midfielders kicking more goals, your wingers kicking more goals. But small forwards are a big, big, big part of the game right now. So, look,
I'm not having a go at you.
I think he's just trying to point out that I'm just taking a snapshot of where we are.
But I'm allowed to disagree with parts of it. I've agreed with about 70% of what you've said, but I'm allowed to disagree with some of it. I don't have to just sit here and say, yeah, I agree with everything. I reckon most of what you're saying about, I reckon rather than look at three of our actual, and I understand the paradox, I know what it means. I understand you're looking at those three players and saying that they're a strength, but they're also a weakness. I understand what you're saying. But rather than take your three good ones out and try and start again.
No, I'm not saying that either.
Well, you sort of are.
No, I'm not.
Well, kind of in a roundabout way you are.
There will come.
They're not changing and they're part of the problem.
You need to mix your skill sets.
That's what I'm saying.
That will change.
That's what I'm saying.
That will change. They will have to mix that up with players, I think you mentioned in terms there's five or six that will go in there. They'll have to. They'll get stronger. We need speed.
They need to be. They better be. They better be. Or we're wasting a generation.
Well, absolutely.
We are. That's the truth. And I'm just if we don't get Cunningham, Dow, Fisher, O'Brien,
Setterfield,
Petrescu, Seaton,
Stocker,
Walsh.
That's it in the nutshell. That's the next level. But they are young.
Yeah, they're young. They're under 20, 22 and under.
Yeah.
This is the truth of our list.
Yeah. We need another senior body.
Oh, that's
there,
why Coniglio would have been bloody magnificent. What a love to have had him.
Exactly.
But if it was going to cost us 1.5 at 7 years,
no.
I'm like Baz.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in anything outside of the statement that we need another one.
We do need another one, but not at that price.
No, not at that price. Just some highlights, boys. Because we've certainly banged on that for a while. Round 11 was a big, obviously, low light for me. Round 12 came on, right, against the Lions, and Teague took over as the caretaker. So I go to the footy not knowing what to expect, absolutely not knowing what to expect that day at all. So I sit there with a mate of mine. I've known him for 25 years, never been to the football with him, and he took his grandson, who's Mad Carlton, 12-year-old kid, loves him. So we're sitting there, we're all gung-ho, ready for the game to start, and we start. And we're 37 points down.
39?
Possibly, Andy, I'm not sure.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, it was in that vicinity, wasn't it?
Was that halfway through the second?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting there, I don't know what to say.
Remember how it was actually funny.
Oh, it was hilarious.
It was hilarious the way we were butchering the
Benny Hill music.
It was ridiculous.
It was so bad.
It was so bad. So I'm looking up at the sky and just thinking.
It was a beautiful day. At least because probably the last game on the roof was open.
Yeah, I think a seagull shit on me nose.
I bet you it didn't.
Well, it's generally good luck.
Take a Tesla, ticket out, mate.
It didn't pull on your nose, but okay, go. Well, didn't
Andy,
mate, but don't. I mean, we're happy. I'm up for a bit of mayo. But
don't ruin
if,
a good story.
You know,
exactly.
Come on.
So I'm just sitting there thinking, like, oh my god, this is just another horror story. And then something clicks.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the something was.
Our coach that day decided, well, I've seen enough of Lachie Neale getting the ball, so Ed, you go to him, and Walshy started to get plenty of it. But there was one bloke in particular who had an absolute fucking gutful. And he wears number 9. And he generally carries the side more often than not. That day there, he just tore him apart. He just said, come with me, boys. This is enough. We've had enough of this shit.
This was a week or two. I don't know what his personal timeline was. But the story did a couple of weeks ago where he said, I was running around. I just about had enough. Probably would have been that Essendon game.
Yeah.
So a week later.
Yeah. Oh, when he was coming off the ground, he looked spent. Yeah. He had no idea. He looked like a broken man.
No,
a broken man.
I used the word depressed back then.
Yeah.
Well, you know, who knows what it was? Who knows what it was? We're not. You know, I don't want to go down that path. But
I think that's what you said at the time.
Day. Yeah. That was the day.
But I think we know what he means.
When they delivered, well, he in particular delivered a monster game.
That was awesome.
And they came back and won, you know, it was 78-63. We're 37 or 39 down and we keep them to 63. This is a side that ends up finishing first or second on the ladder.
Up until the weekend, that was the last game they lost.
Was it really?
Yep.
There you go. That just inspired me. It was such a highlight that from the low light from the week before, I'd done a complete 180. I'd completely forgotten about the 1-10. I didn't really care what happened for the rest of the season, and I'm glad it panned out the way it did. But that, just for that moment, oh.
Yeah, no, it brought it back.
That was
it reminded you.
It certainly did,
yeah,
Andy.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a big highlight for me.
You know, and look, in a season of two halves, the thing that is, and we'll have to wind this up soon,
of course,
but the thing that returned by the end of the year, and this is what has to be, but the hope and the optimism returned. And for those who have never known what it felt like to be a Carlton supporter, they got a little taste.
Oh, no doubt about that.
They got a little taste.
No doubt about that.
A little taste.
It flowed on to round 15. I know it's three rounds on.
They got a little taste.
You know, round 15 against the Dockers on the road, again, went down 5 goals down in twice in that match. The Murphy big goal.
Huge.
Which is a fantastic moment. Great highlight for our highlights package. Round 15 against the Dockers. I can't forget that one. Round 19, comprehensive win against the Adelaide Crows, right? Comprehensive. 27 points, never looked like losing.
Yep.
We're sitting there smoking the Havanas, drinking the whatevers, the mojitos, and just sitting there just thinking, how good's this? You know, just comprehensive defeat against, you know, a side who they've got some issues.
No, but and they were in the mix at the time.
And know, then finish off round 22, you know, the Cripple 100th, Daisy's 100th, announced his retirement that week. Coach got announced that week, and Nick Newman's 50th. And we beat, you know, St Kilda, we all agree, it was a grind. It wasn't pretty, but we got the chocolates. And that was our last, realistically, that was our last round.
Yeah.
So those four matches for me, in terms of highlights of wins, you know, the people listening, I'm sure you're all sitting there going, yep. And maybe you like the ones against the Doggies early and the Swans and whatever, but those four there were just a little bit of a sample size. They're probably all different type of wins too. Mm-hmm. They're all probably different to a degree, but just a small sample size of four victories that, you know, I'll throughout the summer, I'll be watching those replays again. Well, we only had the two wins last year, Andy, and they're the ones that gave me the most pleasure. So,
just watch Liverpool, mate. Just watch.
No, I won't be
watching
them.
Mo Salah, and you know, you'll enjoy.
How good
life.
Was his goal the other
just
night.
Beautiful, mate.
Oh, the turn.
I've only got one. Look, we could keep going on this. Can I just one more highlight that I want to mention?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to hear him.
Levi Casbolt.
Oh, he's down as one of mine, mate. Yeah,
okay, how many years have we been doing this now?
Oh, yeah.
Three.
We've had him delisted at the end of just about every year.
I had him delisted at the start of the year.
I reckon he's either been hanging by a thread or delisted.
He had the electric chair was staring him out there out of the corner of his eye last year.
Absolutely. At the start of the year, I knew he wasn't contracted, and I do believe that there's a trigger clause, and he has got one more year. He hasn't signed yet, and there's... I think there's a little bit of hargy bargy there, but
well, that's what I said. He can still.
I didn't believe it at the time.
Well, I'm not sure about the contract details, but you know, but anyway, we'll see.
Anyway, whatever happens. Yep. But absolutely, that's a major highlight.
Incredible story.
We love seeing blokes, you know, like the Liam Jones. I'll go one step further. I thought the captain, the ex-captain Murphy,
he's terrific.
You know, he's been terrible for quite some time, but. You know, when Teague took over, he's changed his game.
I can't believe.
Dramatically.
I cannot believe what's happened.
You know? Yeah, it's been good to see.
And he's a good user. And he's a good user.
We've been reminded about how good a player he is again.
Yeah, absolutely. You got SPS and Weeder, and I think they consolidated their years, you know, really became good players for us.
Consolidated. We'll do the play by. I'm not doing the reviews.
No. I just wanted to talk about him.
Who? I thought Casbolt.
What a good story.
Yeah, it's great.
That's all.
It's great, absolutely. But, you know, Walsh is a great story, you know.
Oh, we should have.
That's a highlight package in itself.
Yeah, of course.
Definitely a highlight.
Absolutely.
A surprise.
You know?
I mean, number one draft.
You called it early. We needed someone like him at this time of the, you know, he's come at the right time. You know, cometh the man, cometh the Walshy.
Unprecedented, what he's done.
No, Kid Gibbons. Coming from the VFL.
Gibbons,
I think he played
massive.
Every game except the... last, and
he's been a huge get for us.
And Goddard have got a new contract, I think, but only as rookies. Is that correct?
It really doesn't matter anymore.
Doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Oh, Jack's year, DeLuca came from the Waffle. Another highlight, you know, for him personally.
Who's the one player? Question without notice. Yeah. And I've got one, so it's a question that I have an answer to, but. Who's the one player on the list right now you think can go from where they are and make the biggest leap?
Centrefield.
That's one I had. I'd Centrefield.
Had one season of football.
Centrefield, there's two at the club I reckon we still don't know about, and one's way ahead of the other in terms of the reality of performance. Centrefield could be a really good player. The other one's Dave Cunningham. I still reckon he could be something, but... He needs a big 2020.
Yeah. I said the same thing last year.
Yeah, but injury again, mate. He's got to get his body right. You know?
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with those two.
But Centrefield, he could be a very good player.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with those two. Probably for me, if you wanted to go one step further, I think Paddy Dow is one that I really think.
He's 19.
Yeah.
He's 19.
Yeah, exactly.
19.
Exactly.
How many games has he played?
Harry's year, when you look at that, second in the comp for contested marks.
The competition,
but he's got to kick goals,
the
obviously.
Competition,
but that's
would
a highlight in
talking
itself.
Talking him through the roof if he put through the goals.
Harry,
he
yep. That's the one part of his game that let himself down.
He could have kicked 50 goals this year, I reckon. Mm. Not 40, yeah. 50, I reckon he could have kicked this year.
And I suppose we'd be remiss not to talk about Dale Thomas for a second. You know, like, he probably didn't know that he would not be on at a contract. Gave his absolute all this year, I reckon. Gave his absolute all. I reckon he's probably one of the better players under Bolton at the time. But he finished off in a blaze of glory. I actually think that Daisy had a tremendous year. So in terms of a highlight, you know, at least he goes out with something in the tank, and he certainly had something in the belly at the VFL on Sunday.
He's going to have a good time in retirement.
You're not wrong.
VFL?
Just before that, another couple of highlights was just the membership numbers, the 64,000.
Mm.
That's amazing for a club that's been pitiful for many, many years.
Can get to that.
And the other one is a stat that's come out in the last couple of days, Andy. I don't know if you've read or Gex, that our attendances to home games, we've gone from 31,000 averaging at home games to 46,000 average. That's 47% up. That is amazing.
It's huge.
I was shocked when I saw that.
Well, we had 26,000 or Cade Simpson 300th. We had 52,000 or Carlton St Kilda dead rubber.
But I don't keep tabs of what the crowds are throughout the year, Andy.
Once we started rolling, you could feel the momentum. The momentum came back to Carlton in a heartbeat. Don't you reckon? You could feel it straight away.
I wasn't really, the figures weren't in my brain.
No, I wasn't either. I had no idea.
When I read that, I thought 47%, that's the best in the league.
It's coming from a low base.
Best in the league.
Yeah, coming from a super low base. Yeah, it is. Coming from a low base.
Famous title.
Is that a paradox?
It's a pathetic illustration of what was happening prior to us starting to win games again. That's what it is.
We haven't done our votes from last week.
No. We can do the votes and then.
But do you want to do VFL?
Oh, VFL.
We always finish with the votes.
Yeah, VFL, not really much to talk about, folks. It was 10-1-61 to 16-18-114 against Sandringham. Again, a side that was beneath us. We really finished off poorly this year. I just don't like what I see down there at the moment. They need a good hard look at themselves. The Northern Blues and a little bit of Carlton too, absolutely. No doubt about that. But, you know, both clubs need to straighten a few things out.
A good hard look at themselves.
No doubt about that, mate.
There's some issues, and it's
not good. Look, I heard the coach go out at quarter time and give out one of the biggest that I've heard. Oh.
Well, he must be at his wits.
Well, end. I'll tell you collectively and individually. I certainly won't name the individuals, but if you were there, you knew exactly who he was talking about. The swearing was well and truly heard many, many times. And good on him, Josh. If you're listening,
bit of fire and brimstone out in the field.
Oh, really
frustration, Gex.
Yeah.
I
felt so sorry for the bloke. So sorry, because he's a lovely fella. Tries his best, and they totally disrespected him and his coaches and the few people that got there to cheer him on.
Yeah.
So there'll be players that played in that 23. Won't be at Carlton anymore, won't be at the Northern Blues anymore.
I reckon I could probably pick three or four.
Well, you know what? And then when you look at blokes like Oscar Manton playing his first game, he's a 19-year-old twig, nothing of him, looks exactly like his dad, plays like his dad, but, you know, honest as the day long, gave everything. He only had about the 10 touches, but everything he did, you know, he really had a crack and came over the top and punched and did all the one percenters. Kyle Quirk continues his good form. Again, just a kid, grandson of Brian. Got his 20 touches again, does everything right. Really disappointing for me, because I honestly thought they'd probably make the eight this year, but something needs to happen.
Girls whacked away. I went and saw the game in Geelong. they've had a disappointing year, but we've got a new sort of footy ops guy who's come to the club, and I've got a feeling that there'll be a real addressing of the list build.
Footy ops guys come where?
Yeah, from Essendon.
How many of that squad are in our AFL team?
Well, the AFLW girls play about 9 games a year.
Right.
So they're on a restricted sort of they're on a restricted schedule.
Yep.
But they're very much a just keep ticking over, and then we'll get we'll be competitive once we get to the end of the VFLW season, and we'll sort of see where we get to.
Mm.
But it's more about maintenance, through in between the two AFLW seasons.
Yep.
And they play the season without, a couple of them. Darcy didn't play much footy, and Bree Moody probably played 6, I imagine. But Ash Brown's the guy that's come to the footy club, general manager of women's footy. I think we'll see a tighter operation. We'll see a tighter list build. I think we'll see pretty dramatic changes with the way that's kind of been done.
I said it from day one this year. I want to see every side that wears the Carlton emblem give their best. At every Carlton side we have, be it VFLW, AFLW, VFL,
all of them,
I want to see them succeed. Mm. Every single one of them. Mm. I want to see them in finals. Every single one of them. And, the girls got there, but unfortunately, the other three sides were nowhere near it.
Votes, the last time for the year.
The Geelong game.
There weren't many blokes who got votes on the weekend. How did you find it?
I was struggling. I reckon I've given a few some consolations here, but anyway. I went Murphy 3, Cripps 3. Then I gave Walsh 2. Ed Curnow 2, Thomas 2, Kennedy 2, and I gave ones to Plowman, Weedery, Newman, Setterfield, O'Brien, and DeLuca. I was a bit generous there. Mm. I know I was a bit generous.
I gave 3 votes to Cripper, Ed, Curnow. I just thought he was probably on career best stats until he did hurt his Achilles. I hope that's not serious. It
didn't look too. Yeah, it didn't look too.
I don't like the word Achilles. No. I just don't like that word. And Walsh completed the trio of 3 voters. I thought Walshy was very consistent for 4 quarters, finished very hard in the end of the year. 2 votes each to Weeders, Daisy and Murph, and then 1 vote each to Cruz, DeLuca, Plowman and Newman.
3 votes to Cripps and Curnow, 2 votes to Murphy, Walsh and Weedering, and 1 vote to Thomas and Plowman. That was it for me. I mean, there are a lot of passengers on Saturday, a lot of blokes who didn't come to play.
Well, I declare the winner of the Carlton show best and fairest, Paddy Cripps, once again.
That's Luke Ryan's.
Is that combined and individual? Are all the same, or combined votes and the individual votes that we give?
Are we? What are you talking about, Willis?
Don't you understand what I'm saying?
No.
We
all give our own votes.
Yes.
So does the tally of individual
votes. No, it's collective.
Yeah, the collective.
We only give out 1 BNF.
Does Cripps win the individual tallies as well?
I don't know. Probably
too hard.
Luke, you can do that if you.
Let's not ask him to do that.
No,
he'll
do
that.
I think
anyway.
He did it
last
year.
He'll do it.
He'll do it. He'll show the votes that we gave individually. But I'd say probably. Cripps
So, folks, if you're still with us, we're done now for a while. We'll wait for the list to be finalised. Should we do that?
Yeah.
Yep. We'll get back together once all the list changes are done, trade period's finished, draft is over.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll get back together. We'll look at those who have gone, those who are still there, those who have come. Whether we do a deep dive into every single player, we'll work that out by then, but we'll get together at least once more between now and the end of the year.
Yep.
And then we'll wish you a Merry Christmas. Yeah. Between then and now, thanks, right?
Absolutely.
To everybody who's
tuned in.
Everybody who's taken the time to respond, write something on the...
Give us gifts.
Yeah, Beck, thank you. Have you ever gone on, Gecko?
I browse around and have
a look
at comments.
Have you ever looked at the comments on the podcast?
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It's an incredibly humbling experience.
The people we've got all around the world.
I've never seen negatives. Only positives.
Well, I sent a negative.
Did you?
Yeah, I was potting Andy once. But
do it to your face, you cockhead.
It's overwhelming to know that people all around the world listen.
Yeah, it's true.
It's incredible.
No, yeah. A lot of expats really hang on everything.
It actually
really
means something to people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's a fellow who lives over in England with his family. I think his name's Camo. I've got it wrong. I'm sorry. But he did ask me, is there a way that he wants to get people together in England together to have a Carlton show influence in England?
Well, that's up to you, Camo. We can't do much about it.
I don't know.
Camo, that's up to you, mate.
Yeah, I'll just put it out there. But
it's a good
Camo,
idea,
that's
Camo.
Way too hard for me, son.
We can't help
that's
you.
Way
just,
too...
just use Twitter.
Just sort it out, mate. You can do it. Yeah. But thanks. It's great. We probably would have given up the ghost a long time ago if it wasn't for the community that's been established around this show. And it seems to be a pretty important one. So,
yeah, definitely.
We've got a big 2020 in front of us. We've got a bit of work to do between now and the end of 2019 to make sure that our 2020 is a good one. So,
Andy, you at the start of the year wanted your base was, I think, mid-80s in
percentage,
terms of percentage.
Yeah,
they finished on 84.5. Gex, we both said competitive. I think the 7 wins at the end of the day and some close losses.
No, definitely competitive.
That was competitive. You know, I think they met the bare
that's the baseline.
Essential, the baseline. Yeah, yep. I'm not going to get too excited about that, but they met what, and it wasn't looking good, let's be honest.
No, we're in terrible trouble halfway through the year. Jesus. We've seen the blue sky again. We know what it looks like. It's not without some clouds on the horizon, but there's, you know,
a lot of hard work to do still.
Yeah, there's a lot of hard work to do.
I can't allow myself to get over the top and too excited, but, you know,
Premiership next year.
Oh, when we finish on top next year, we win the flag, I'll be pretty happy.
No problems. Good on you. On that note, huru, sayonara, c'est la vie, and we'll see you in a few weeks' time. Bye for now.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous old dark blues.
Deck maintenance isn't fun. Move the furniture and barbecue, sand and prep, paint, seal, or get a low-maintenance Trex deck. The only colour fade you'll have to deal with is watching the sunset. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.